With great power comes great responsibility.
Compromise where you can. Where you can't, don't. Even if everyone is telling you that something wrong is something right, even if the whole world is telling you to move, it is your duty to plant yourself like a tree, look them in the eye and say no, you move.
Never step onto the battlefield of ideas unprepared. Before you enter the fray, you need a plan. And there's no better place to get one than right here on Tactics with host Caleb Colquitt. The Situation Room goes live now on News Radio 1440.
And good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for being with us here on Tactics, whether you're watching on Facebook Live or YouTube or Twitch or Periscope or the terrestrial signal or my website. However you're watching us, we certainly appreciate you choosing to make us a part of your day once again. And we have a lot of really important things to talk about today, as we always do, but I do have a couple things that I want to talk about before we get into some actual news. First of all, I promised a student that I would give her a birthday shout out when her birthday actually arrived. So happy birthday to Kylie Steele. So here, you know, October the 2nd, happy birthday to her. And she happens to share a birthday with somebody that's very important to this show, our graphic designer, Jessica Dawson, who does a lot of this work pro bono, or at the very least for me occasionally buying her a meal. So that's how low budget we are here at Tactics Radio. We have to pay our staff in meals. But, you know, as long as they're willing to keep doing it, I'm going to keep operating under that system. And we certainly do appreciate all the graphics helping us look good and professional, which anything that makes me look good takes a lot of skill and hard work. So we appreciate her contributions to this show, and happy birthday to Jessica Dawson as well as Kylie Steele. We do have a really important story to get to today. And as you know, if you've been watching this program for any length of time, we try to take Wednesday and make it a little bit more spiritually based, because the show starts at 6, my church starts at 6:30. Why they start at the unscriptural time of 6:30, I have no idea. I'm certain that this is breaking several of the Ten Commandments in some way. I'm not really sure how that would be the case. But nonetheless, they start at 6:30, and so I don't have as much time. And since it's Wednesday, and since a lot of people are more in a spiritual mood because of Bible study, I feel it only appropriate to handle things of a spiritual matter, which is the reason that I held off on reporting this story for a couple days. Because first of all, even though the story just broke on Yellowhammer News and AL.com, even though it's just now coming into the spotlight, it's something that actually happened a while back. And also because when you're talking about eternal things and spiritual things, they don't have an expiration date. One of the things that we were talking about on the show just a few days ago in one of my chaplain's report is one of the great proofs internally that the Bible is the Word of God, is that it has eternal messages in it that do not change, that God can foresee what's going to happen, and because of that, he has the ability to structure his message in such a way that it will always be timely, and it will never be dusty or out of date, because they are based on eternal truths that do not change with time. And this story is something that is something that anybody today would be able to relate to, and 1,000 years later would be able to relate to. Now, it doesn't have the eternal capacity that the scripture itself has, but it's a story that anybody could understand. And to give you a heads up on this, this is the title of the story from Yellowhammer News. Born again, UAB cancer patient baptized as final wish, quote, the greatest day. And we'll go ahead and read through this particular article. Thomas Roberts was an atheist for most of his life. However, in his final days earlier this month, he was reborn, deciding he wanted to be baptized. According to a story posted on the University of Alabama at Birmingham, UAB's website, on Monday, Thomas specifically wanted to be fully submerged in water, per his newfound faith. However, Roberts, dying of lung cancer, was wheelchair-bound and unable to breathe without oxygen tubes. Instepped the incredible team at UAB to help his final wish come true. Corey Agricola, the chaplain at UAB Hospital, and the rest of the UAB palliative care team worked the problem until they found a solution. So I want to just go ahead and show you a couple of graphics of the event. These were posted on UAB's website. So this is one of Thomas Roberts, and this is him. You can see him there. He's in the wheelchair. He's got all the oxygen tanks because, of course, remember the kind of cancer that he has is lung cancer. And so you've got the chaplain there. I assume that's the chaplain standing there in the pool, and they're about to bring him in there. But the reason that I show you this is because it's such a undertaking. And you can see that by looking at this picture, because not only does he have to be constantly hooked up to these air tubes, but he's also, they had to put in the chairlift because the way that this thing was structured, they weren't going to be able to wheel him down into the pool. They had to put him in the chairlift and lower him into the pool using that. So this was a big undertaking. As you can tell there, there were a lot of staff that were involved with it. A lot of people had to be present to help him out with this. And here's the second graphic here, if we can get that pulled up. This is actually the moment where he's submerged. And you can tell, and the article mentions this a little bit later, we'll get to it in a second, his condition is so severe that he cannot be away from his oxygen for very long at all. And so you'll see that the hose is even partially submerged, because as soon as he comes out of the water, they got to throw the mask back onto him, because if he doesn't, he's actually in danger of his own life. So those images just kind of give you an idea of what the event was like. It continues on in the article. It was a major effort by a lot of moving pieces and different teams to pull this off, Agricola explained. Roberts was a patient at the palliative care and comfort unit at UAB and at the time, and only had days to live. Upon learning of this special request, Agricola spoke with Roberts' physician, Ashley Knowles, MD, Ashley Nichols, MD, to make sure that he was able to be off of oxygen long enough to go underwater. Once he had her approval and knew the pool at the Spain Rehabilitation Center was available, the team sprung into action. Quote, Dr. Nichols made clear that he would only be able to be off of oxygen for a few seconds, which meant we couldn't roll him down the ramp into the pool wheelchair, so we had to use the chair lift to place him in the pool, Agricola advised. Surrounded by his wife, his son, two sisters, niece and nephew, and his UAB care team, Roberts was lowered into the water where Agricola and a physical therapist were waiting for him. There's so many moving parts to this story. There's so many different directions you could take this in. I mean, if you're a preacher and you're looking for a metaphor, this is about as good as you could ever ask for, and I say this as a minister who's done stuff like this. But what I want to emphasize here, this man has a thirst for obedience. And what I find really astounding is there are several faiths that are offered up, because there would be some people that may question, and rightfully so. There's nothing wrong with questioning or asking about somebody's faith or how much they understand. In fact, that's something that the Bible encourages. But there are people that might question whether or not he really believed this, or he was just coming near the end and wanted to go ahead and be baptized just as a sort of just-in-case kind of thing. And I don't think that's the case. And the reason that I say that is there are plenty of faiths out there that teach that submersion baptism is not essential to salvation. There are some that teach that baptism isn't essential to salvation at all. I disagree with them, but I'm not going to get into why, because that's not really the purpose of the show today. Fine with having that debate with people. Have had that debate before. But it's not really it's not within the context or the scope of our story today. So I'm going to ignore that. Whether or not you believe that is the case or not, whether or not you believe baptism is essential to salvation, put that aside for a second. This guy obviously did. And he could have, if he were just doing the just-in-case thing, he could have easily subscribed to one of the faiths that teach that submersion baptism is not essential. For example, there are religions like the Catholics that teach baptism is absolutely essential, but they also offer sprinkling, which would be far easier to undergo if you were this man. So I do sense a legitimate conviction that he really was convinced that to be saved, he had to be immersed in water just the way that they did it in the New Testament. It's the only biblical example that we have. And because of that belief, again, whether you agree with him or not, he believed it so strongly that he was willing to actually put his life at risk because he believed that putting his life at risk was worth it to ensure the salvation of his soul. If you don't believe that that's something you have to do, there's no reason to put yourself in that peril or jeopardy. And so even if you wind up disagreeing with the idea that you have to be baptized to be saved, you got to respect the man's conviction. You've got to respect the fact that he said, no, I believe I have to do this. I have to come in contact with the blood of Christ in order to be saved, in order to wash away my sins, and to be in accordance with the scriptural teaching. And because of that, I am willing to risk my own life. There is a chance that I die from this to accomplish that. And yes, he was close to the end of his life anyway, but even so, he's still willing to risk the time that he has left in order to be in compliance with the scripture. That you've just got to admire. And the fact that he arrived at that conclusion and he arrived at that level of conviction having been an atheist. I mean, that just is incredibly astounding. It's actually not dissimilar. The story that I immediately thought of from the scripture was the Roman centurion. You remember that the centurion had a servant that was sick and was dying, and he called Jesus to him, and this is a person that is occupying God's people. He is part of the army that is occupying the state of Israel at the time. He's not a Jew. He's familiar with the Jewish traditions, but he himself is not a Jew. And yet, Christ remarks, is just astounded at the level of the man's faith, and he says, I have not found a faith like this, no, not in Israel. And so the fact that he's coming from the standpoint of being an atheist all the way to having the level of conviction that he's saying, no, I have to be baptized. I need to be baptized. I am going to be baptized because I need it to be obedient to God. I mean, that's a level of respect that not many people are put into that position. But if you are, and the way that he reacts to it, I mean, he has my respect for sure. And the fact that he's risking his life to be baptized exactly the way that the early Christians were baptized, I think says a lot about his belief in the necessity of baptism and the procedure of actually being submerged, just like the word baptizo, the Greek word that's used there, means to be buried, to be submerged in water. So what I really kind of draw from this, the takeaway I think is, what's your excuse? If you've been putting off baptism, if you've been putting off getting your life right, if you've been putting off being, you know, bringing your life into accordance to God's will, and you look at this guy, you have to say, what's your excuse? He had every reasonable excuse. I mean, one of his excuses was, I might die if I do it. He did it anyway. This is exactly what the early Christians did. Because back when Christian persecution was at its height, under the 11th emperor, Domitian, and there were other times where there was great fear. This is going on right now in China and other countries where Christians are being persecuted. They're putting their lives on the line to live the biblical example. They know that they're risking their lives by being baptized. And so there's a parallel here. Even though he's not doing so from risk of a government, he was putting his life in jeopardy in order to be in accordance to God's will, which is something that you have to respect, that there's that comparison there. But when you look at that and then you look at yourself, if you haven't been baptized, if you haven't been obedient to God and obeyed the gospel, you have to look at this and go, man, what is my excuse? Is my excuse really good? Because this guy had every reason to put this off or to say that, no, I'll find another way. And he didn't do that. He said, no, I'm going to do this because it's what God commands, and I'm going to do it the way that the Bible teaches it's supposed to be done. That, I mean, is a level of conviction that most Christians that have been Christians for years, sometimes decades, don't even have. And even though I'm not exactly an elder or a deacon, just being a 30-year-old man looking at that, I see a definite level of respect there. So this article continues on. Quote, I have served in the ministry over 20 years and 7 of those at UAB. This is the greatest day of my career, Agricola emphasized to Roberts and his family at the baptism. Quote, Thomas, you never thought you would preach a sermon in your life, but you preach today. You made an impact on people who you do not even know, Agricola told the patient. After reading Romans 6, 4 through 11, fantastic chapter, Robert's oxygen tubes were temporarily removed while Agricola held him in his arms. Quote, we thank God for the good and perfect gift of this day. This is one of the greatest days of your life, Thomas, because we are celebrating your new life, Agricola told Roberts moments before he was baptized. And I don't know much about the theology of the chaplain here. I've never heard of the man before reading this article. And for all I know, we probably disagree on a number of different things. I have no idea. But he captured the moment here perfectly. And the way that he did that is talk about celebrating the new life. This man, moments after he's baptized, if he truly did understand and do so in loving obedience, which I'm assuming that he did, there's no reason for me based on the facts that I have to not assume that. Well, looking at that, if that is what took place, then he came out of that water more alive than he has ever been in his life. Yes, still needing the oxygen tubes. Yes, still being hospitalized and fighting lung cancer, which, by the way, when you're dealing with cancer treatments, they make you feel like you're half dead, even if you're not in as bad shape as he is. So I can only imagine what kind of pain he's in. Yeah, still needing a wheelchair, still needing all of the oxygen tubes hooked up to him and and having all of the drugs that are keeping him going. He's still more alive than most people today. Because once you put on that new life, then you're truly alive. The truth is, most people wander around for the majority, if not all their lives, completely dead in their sin. And so bringing in the teaching about new life in Romans 6 is a perfect passage to illustrate that, talking about putting away the old man and putting on Christ. That just captures the moment perfectly. And I can definitively say that as long as this man's spirit was in the right place, then he came out of that water more alive than most people will ever be, even with his physical limitations. So it continues on. This was not just a huge day for Roberts, but his family as well. Their faith shone through his toughest time just as Roberts was reborn. Quote, it brings me complete comfort and peace because I know where he is going now, commented Gina Gibson, Robert's sister. I don't have to worry about it. Now there will be great joy just knowing where he is going. He is at peace. He was born again. You can see it on his face after his baptism. He was born again. They gave, quote, all the glory to God while thanking the UAB for helping facilitate this incredible event. Quote, UAB and this team, this place was so accommodating and amazing, said Davin Gibson, Robert's nephew. You moved everything around. All of the departments worked together to make it happen. I give the glory to God, but you guys rocked it. By the way, I've actually received treatment at UAB, not for my cancer. It was actually for something else. It was related to my cancer, but that's kind of been my experience with UAB. And what it really does put on a pedestal is, our healthcare people are some of the best people in the world. I mean, some of your healthcare professionals, the time and effort that they put in, yeah, occasionally you run against some bad people, just like any other profession. But by and large, overall, the vast majority of healthcare people, they're some of the best people you'll ever run into. I've got a lot of friends in the healthcare sector. My best friend from high school is a nurse, for example. I could, you know, rattle off a list, but suffice it to say, got a lot of friends in this sector. I'm still close friends with my chemo nurse that was there with me every step of the way. Didn't know her before then, but we actually became very close friends because of the treatment and what I was going through at the time. our healthcare people are some of the best people in the world. And if you have one of those people in your life, especially if you've been treated by them, you know that. So just use this as an opportunity to thank them. Continue on in the article, and this will wrap it up. While Roberts passed away days later on September the 9th, he left behind one of the greatest gifts he could have given his family. Quote, I don't know what could be a better gift than the feeling of peace, and that is what we have now, shared Brooke Carr, Robert's niece. You know, there is a real pain, a legitimate pain that happens when you lose a family member that you love and care about and know that they were not right with God at the time of their passing. And I've experienced that firsthand. I know people that have, and there is an extra level of sorrow because at least if they're right with God, or at least they appear to be right with God, hopefully there's no surprises with that. But if they are right with God, then there is a certain level of comfort and understanding that comes with that. If it's somebody that you know is not right with God, that's something that tears at you. And a lot of people, regardless of how the person lived, a lot of preachers will eulogize the person and basically try to preach them into heaven. I don't do that because I don't know what their relationship was like with Christ most of the time. And frankly, that's just so far above my pay grade. It's not my call who gets into heaven or not. And that's not the purpose of eulogy anyway. But my point in all of that is, the reason that a lot of preachers do that is because they know that the thought of that not taking place is something that is incredibly uncomfortable to those surrounding them, which is, of course, horrible in the moment. But I would like to think that that would also be a stark reminder of why it's important to live in a godly manner, live in obedience to God's word. You see, if there is one message that comes from this story, and it's a great story, if there is one message that should come across to everybody, is that it's never too late. It is never too late to find salvation. If you're watching me right now, if you are within the sound of my voice, it's not too late. That's what I'd like to tell to every single person that I meet. If you are still alive, then God has a purpose for you. If you are still alive, it is possible for you to come into the conformity of the image of His Son and do that through obedience to God. Just doing what the Bible says, hearing the word, believing it, establishing your faith, confessing that faith before men, repenting of your ways, being baptized, and living faithfully. It's never too late if you're still alive to do that, and this guy proves it. I mean, you're literally days away from your death. And you say, I am going to be obedient to God, whatever it takes. And if this guy can do it, surely anybody can do it. Somebody that was an atheist for most of his life and basically on death's door still found a way to find salvation. If you are still alive, that opportunity is available to you right now. And part of the reason that I say this is because it reminds me of something I read a while back, that there are so many people, Christians, or people that are thinking about being Christians, that are really on the verge, and this is something that the Bible brings up several times, the people that put their hand to the plow and then back off. And Jesus says, those people are not worthy of me. The people that come really close to being a Christian, what happens is they really want God to change them tomorrow. They'll say and give lip service, and some of them are probably very sincere that they want to obey God and they want to be in compliance with His will. I just don't want to do it right this second. Some people, it's because they want to go out and sow their wild oats. Some people do it because they just don't want to be inconvenienced in the moment. Some of them are waiting for another big milestone in their life. Like, well, once we start having kids, once I get married, I'll start really serving God. Once I have kids, I'll start really serving God. Once I am financially stable, then I'll start serving God. That's not how this works. Just like the Ethiopian eunuch, just like the jailer with Paul at midnight, there is an immediacy that should come with baptism. Now, that was very present in this story because he knew he didn't have much time left. But the truth is, gang, none of us know how much time we have. I could walk out of this room just a few minutes from now and get hit by a bus. I mean, there's no telling. I could suffer a massive heart attack or have a stroke, just some kind of freak accident. All those things could happen. We don't know how much time we have. So make the most of the time that God has given you. If you are breathing and living today, you have the opportunity to find that salvation. And heck, if you're hearing this live right now and you want to do something about it, you're convicted in your heart to do that, come down to Dalrady Church of Christ tonight. I'll be there. I'll baptize you myself if that's what you want. As long as you are still alive today, it is never, never too late to find salvation. That is a promise that God gives us. If God still has us on this earth, then we have the ability to be obedient to his will. Stay the course, friends.
Tactics is a production of News Radio 1440 and Cumulus Media Montgomery. Any opinions expressed on this program are those of the host and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Cumulus Media. The theme song for Tactics is 6 Foot Town by Big and Rich. Graphics by Jessica Dawson. Broadcast studios provided by Cumulus Media Montgomery. Location studios provided by the Dalrady Church of Christ. Copyright 2019.